Good morning. Today's Bible reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but only God, who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labour. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building.
As we were singing that song, I don't have a very good memory for people, but I did remember Neil playing his piano. And as we were doing that song, I could just visualise Neil Larkin playing that piano in the old days in the Wollongong Church, just kind of going for it and just the sheer joy. So it's lovely to have you here today, and it's lovely to have that memory of so many years ago. I want you to imagine you've just started a new job, you've gone into a building site, and you are working on a house. Okay, so you work on the house in the morning, and then you go off to lunch, and you have your lunch, and when you come back, there's a note on the table, and it says this: here's the keys, get the equipment shed, start digging the hole for the pool. So, okay, so you pick up the keys, and you wander into the shed, and you look in the shed, and you see all these shovels. Now, if you know anything about shovels, a shovel is not just a shovel. Okay? It depends on what kind of hole you're going to dig. If you want to get rid of lots and lots of dirt all at once, you pick one of these kind of shovel nose, one of these ones here. But if it's a deep hole and you want straight lines on it, you get one of these square ones with a long handle, okay? So you walk in, you look at the shovels, you grab a couple of shovels, you wander out into the blazing afternoon, you know, 35 degrees in Wollongong, humidity high, and you start digging your hole. Just digging your hole. The sweat's pouring off you. If you're buff like me, you take your shirt off. You start digging your hole, digging your hole. 2 or 3 hours into this job, the boss comes back and he stands on the side of the hole and he looks at you. And he goes, "What are you doing?" "I'm digging the hole." "So come here with me. You got those keys?" "Yeah, yeah." Walk into the shed and look here and all the shovels. "So turn around. That golden key started this machine." Sometimes I think we do faith like that. We do our Christianity much harder than it's intended to be done. The Bible actually says we are co-laborers with God. We are meant to work with God, not doing all the work of God. Now, for the very first time, the Wi-Fi has gone off, so I can't see my notes. So let me pick these up. One of the things it says in 1 Corinthians in that passage is it says, "But only God who makes things grow." The intention is that God is the one that makes things grow. It actually says in the Gospel of Mark, "All by itself the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel, into the head." It's this idea that creator of the universe is the one that makes things grow. But we often, in our faith, we act as if we are the ones that make things grow. We forget that we are co-laborers with God. You know, it talks about in the scriptures, it talks about Christianity is meant to be something for the "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart." Some of us look at that passage and go, really? It's meant to be easy? Christianity is meant to be the place of the weary getting rest. But we act and live as if it's just hard, hard work. I don't know how often I've said to people, you don't have to work so hard. I constantly say to Joe, I love him playing music every Sunday, but he doesn't have to be here every Sunday. John, down the back here, working hard. I want these guys for it not to be another thing that they have to do. If you're enjoying it, turn up. But don't turn up every week because it's another job that has to be done. I truly, truly believe that God gives us the energy and the strength to do what God wants us to do. And if God hasn't gifted somebody to do something, hasn't energized them to do it, we shouldn't be doing it. I truly believe if we had no musicians at all, that we wouldn't need to do music. Because unless God gives us that gifting, we ought not to do those things. We need to be doing the things that God has called us to do. In the beginning of that Bible passage, it says this, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned each his task. It's telling us we all have our task to do, but that we don't all have the same task. It also says a very important word in that. It calls them a servant. That word servant is actually the same word translated slave or doulos. It's actually the word used for bond servant. Does anybody know what a bond servant is in the Old Testament? Any smart people? So what would happen is if somebody was in debt, a Hebrew would have to be going to indenture to a master for 6 years to pay off their debt. At the end of the 6 years, they had to be set free. You could not have a Hebrew person, a slave, more than 7 years. So in the seventh year, they had to be set free. So there was no long-term slavery in that sense. It was quite a radical idea in those days. But what happened is if you got married while you were a slave, the wife was owned by the master, and if you left, you had to leave your wife behind. And so some people would choose to stay a slave so that they could keep their family. And they were called a bond slave. And the bond slave had to get their ear put up to a wall, and they would use an oar and they'd chop off a hole or kind of the bottom of the ear, and that was the sign that they were a bond slave. Pretty gross in some ways. That's the word the Bible uses for us when we come to God. It says you're either a servant of the world, of the devil and all his ways, or you are a bond slave of God. You have chosen to become a servant or a slave under God. And so you are under his direction. Now the idea is that that bond slaveness is not meant to be a burden, it's meant to be a release. So in the same way as the Hebrew slave said, I want to stay with my master because of my wife, because of my love, we become a bond slave with God because of our love for God. The Bible actually says that the church is the bride of Christ. Look, whoever's been married knows that marriage is sometimes hard work. We know that. But it shouldn't be hard work all the time. There should be joy in amongst that relationship. There are things that you have to do to get the washing done and the dishes done and the raising of kids. And you know, we've got the grandkids with us at the moment. We're feeling a bit old at the moment, having had them for a week. But there should be joy in amongst that as well. It shouldn't be just all hard work. And so the Bible says we are to co-labour with God. There are certain things that God does that we don't do. So let me just look at a couple of what they are. One of the things we need to understand is that it's God who calls people to follow him, not us. You know, we've been talking about evangelism a bit lately over the last few months at different times. And there can sometimes be a feeling, oh my goodness, one more thing to do. Do I have to go out and stand on the street and preach the gospel or whatever it is? We feel as though it's another burden that has been put on us. And what we forget is that it's God's job to draw people to himself. Our job is simply to notice and cooperate what God is doing. I think about it like this. God says that we are like lights in the darkness, a candle in the darkness. Every one of us here who follow God is like a candle of light in a dark room. And we are to wander around and start to notice the candles that God is raising up in other people's lives. We don't take God to them. God is already at work in them. And it's our job to notice when the light is coming up. There's a strange little passage in Matthew 10. It says this, when Jesus sent out the 12. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone does not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. What he's saying is don't go and impose your faith on a different community. Go into the community, offer them something, and if they don't want to hear it, don't get upset about it. Just simply walk away and go find somebody else who's open to it. The man of peace in the Bible is a symbol of the person who is open to the workings of God. Our job is not to go to everybody and try to convince them about Jesus. Our job is to go and offer something, like a refreshing bit of glass of water, and see if they thirst it. You offer it, if they want it, then you'd go further with them. If they reject it, you walk away and you allow them to carry on. We don't have to feel guilty that not everybody responds to the gospel of God. Interestingly enough, even Jesus worked that way. It says when Jesus was walking that he looked for the work of the Father. One of the things we forget is that when Jesus came to earth, he gave up his power. And in relationship with the Father, he would say, Father, what are you doing? Where are you working? And he would go to the places where the Father was working. And so you go into a relationship and you notice what God is doing. Let me give you some examples here. Imagine that you're looking around and you notice somebody reading something. And you might say, well, that's an interesting book. Tell me more about that book. And they tell you about it, and maybe it's got some spiritual themes in it. And you say, oh, that's an interesting, that kind of speaks about my relationship with God. And they kind of move away and they don't want to hear about that at all. Carry on. But if they go, actually, I've been thinking about God a little bit lately, you go, well, and push into it. Imagine that you're walking down to somebody and they say, what did you do on the weekend? And you go, well, Sunday morning we had a great time at church, you know, and the minister talked about, you know, being co-laborers with God. If somebody just kind of go, oh, that's interesting, and moves on to talking about the beach, you just leave it. But if they say, actually, I'm interested in that, then you go and you explore it a little bit more. You know, maybe somebody's having real difficulties in their life. They're struggling with their work or they're struggling with their partner. And you say, I pray for people every morning when I get up. Would you like me to pray for you? And if they say, I love that, then that's an opening. And you say, well, next week, I'll make sure I pray for you this week and next week I'll let you know. And so the next time you see them, you just simply say, just want to let you know, I've been praying for you. One of the things some of you will have got is a text from me sometimes. Because when I'm praying for you, sometimes I just pray quietly, but sometimes I want you to know that I'm actually praying for you. So I'll text somebody and say, praying for you this morning. I do that with Christians and non-Christians, and if the non-Christian kind of ignores it, I'll just move on. But often you'll get a response back and say, well, I was wondering what was happening in my life today. Something was happening. And so there's an opportunity to share something about God. So it's about realising the pressure is not on me to take God into the world. God is in the world, and we join him as co-labourers in that place. And when there's a spark, then we go with that spark. One of the things that some Christians can do sometimes is that they can begin to talk to people about the things that they're doing wrong in their life. It's not our job to judge people about their sin. The Bible actually says in 1 Corinthians 2, however, as it is written, when no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love them, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit to reveal things in people's lives. And if we think that somebody needs to be dealing with something, the first thing we ought to be doing is to pray for them that maybe we can have a conversation about it. Have you ever noticed, we had a barbecue on Friday night, okay? And sometimes when I'm doing barbecues, I'm going to use Shimmer as an example, okay? But remember a couple of months ago, you were helping me with the barbecue. Shimmer got on there and was barbecuing, and some bloke, I won't name who the bloke was, decided that Shimmer needed help and would come in and kind of try to give Shimmer some help. I'm not sure you were overly impressed with the help they were trying to offer you, because it was uninvited help. Shimmer was doing a great job cooking away. Didn't need any help. However, you know, we've all been in that place where we are doing something, we can't do it, and we say, if I wanted some engineering help, say designing something, I might come to James and go, mate, I have no idea where to even start understanding this diagram. Could you explain it to me? And he'd use his kind of academic understanding of all diagrams and maps, and he'd start pointing things out, and I'd be open to what he said. And so we need to be looking at people asking questions, and when they begin to ask questions of us, see, co-labouring with God should not be hard work. It should be a place of relaxing and joy. One of the things that, can you just flick, if you can, to the very last of those slides? One of the things we talk about, actually, it's down the bottom here, our values, our welcome, our worship, our wonder, our word, and our works. The work part of that value is not that we go out and do more. It's that we stop long enough to say to God, what is the work that you are doing that I can join you with this year? So I want to give you, I might ask Linda just to come up and play the flute a little bit again. And I want to give you just a minute or two and to contemplate at the beginning of this year, what do you think God is inviting you into to do with him, to co-labour with him in the year that's ahead? Lord, we ask that we would not work so hard, that we would learn to rest in you, but when we co-labour with you, to have some joy, even amongst some of the difficulty of doing that with you. Lord, help us to understand what you are doing in the world, and help us to join with you in the work that you are doing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.